Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on goal, McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it. Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score!
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning. The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions. It's Elliott. Elliott for the touchdown.
And now here's your host, Elliott Price.
On the eve of perhaps the most important soccer game ever played in Canada, there is sadness in the beautiful game. A plane crash that took the lives of almost an entire team from Brazil. Approximately 70 on that flight that crashed in Medellin, Colombia, are dead. They were a team on a magical journey, one that had risen from below, one without the riches to pay the best of the best, and yet after winning the semifinal on the weekend, they were off for a championship test that was not to be. It's amazing how many of these flights there are in sports. Hundreds of North American teams make these every day. I've been up for a few hundred. The Expos, the Canadians, and the Alouettes. They are part and parcel of the deal you make to play and cover big-time sports. You almost never think about the negatives, only to be shaken by reality every now and then the turbulence dies down, the plane steadies, and all is forgotten. For now. The statistics are amazing, really. How many go up? And the sheer number that stay up and land safely is unbelievable, really. But there's the Lokomotiv Yaroslavl hockey team. September 2011, the U.S. boxing team from a long time ago, golfer Payne Stewart, and many others. Every now and then a reminder to tell the ones you love that you love them. Some soccer players may not have done that this morning. Welcome to the show, Elliott Price, Grant Robinson, and obviously a tragic day in the world of sports. I'm sure there were terrible things that happened in other places. We'll try to brighten up your day here. We're on till 10 o'clock. Should be a fun show. We'll talk some hockey. Of course, the Canadians start what has traditionally been a horrific California swing. They're at Anaheim tonight, and we'll talk with Mark Dumont, as we do on Tuesdays at 8:35. Hockey with Scott Morrison, basketball just after 9 o'clock with Dwight Walton, and of course the impact tomorrow on the frozen tundra of VMO. We shall see about that as far as the weather is concerned, but Gregory Caltabanis will join us, and we'll hear from a sort of Montreal Canadiens and get you ready for tonight's game. Plus, an early opportunity to hear part of a show later on today. Conan with Kate Mara. Did you hear this today?
I didn't hear it, no.
This is funny stuff. Funny stuff. Did you know that Kate Mara's dad owns the New York Giants. And her mom, family, owns the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And they play this week. That should be fun.
They play this week.
That should be very
fun.
And
she's an actress. And she's on with Conan tonight. And she tells a story about an ex-boyfriend and the Lombardi Trophy. So you're going to have to wait till next hour for that. All right? How are you? What's going on?
I can't wait to hear that now. You got me very curious.
That's cool. It's a good story. Yeah, she's pretty funny.
All right. Well, Conan is my favorite late night guy. I always find him good. He's funny. But I'm good. I'm excited about the hockey tonight. There's a lot going on. I found last night's primetime game great. I know Monday Night Football isn't the question. It's Thursday Night Football. Yeah. But last Thursday's games I found great. This Thursday is going to be Cowboys-Vikings. I don't think it'll be bad.
You know, the Raiders are coming up again because it was like 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 6. It was one Thursday, one Monday, one Sunday. And we've already done 2 of them. Oh, that's right. Of course. I told you what it was. They play December 14th and December 18th, right?
Yeah,
that's going to be tough. They're going to be Sunday and Thursday, I think it is.
Cowboys are getting 3 primetime games, not primetime, but Thursday was an afternoon game for Thanksgiving. Now, this Thursday, primetime, and next week you're doing Sunday night.
And who knows? Because you've got flex scheduling coming up.
Yeah.
And so an opportunity for the best teams to be in primetime. I'm hoping that the biggest primetime game of the year involves the Raiders and, let's say, the Cowboys. I could go for that.
You know what I can't wait for? When my Cowboys start Tony Romo in Week 17, because the game doesn't matter. That's what I want.
All right.
That's what I want for Christmas. A Week 17 that doesn't matter because first place is locked up.
I understand. But you see, you're just thinking like a Cowboys fan of the last 20 years. You see what I went to? I went to Super Bowl. You went to Week 17. You got to
think
bigger.
No, but I'm saying I want that. But I'm just saying this is the first step.
There is no first step.
There's always a first
step. You're 9-1.
10-1.
You're 10-1. That's right. Raiders are 9-2.
So to sit out that Week 17 game, though, you'd have to be at least 14 wins. You're going to have to be at least 14.
I just said I hope that they're in the biggest primetime game of the year against the Cowboys. That would be the Super Bowl. I bypassed Week 17. I got no one starting in Week 17. I don't care about Week 17. No, really, I'd like to see them play in a playoff game. It's been 14 years. All right. We'll talk about all that and a whole lot more. We've got the opening face-off coming up. As usual, all of our opening brought to you by Monsieur Drain. Nice to associate yourself with the best because all you have to do is tell the truth. Monsieur Drain is the best. That's the truth. You said so because you have voted him the Consumer's Choice Award for 3 consecutive years. Any problems with drains or pipes or unblocking, big jobs, excavation, high-pressure jet cleaning, man, there's nobody better. 25 years of top-notch service. Monsieur Drain. Either remember this number, 514-640-0070. I tell you every day, sooner or later, it'll stick in your head, but it's easy to remember, MonsieurDrain.com.
The final buzzer. 2 glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Olde Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game with the energy and excitement it deserves at your friendly neighborhood Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With over 20 beers on tap, over 40 single malts, 6 locations, and a full house of fans like yourself. There's no reason to spend another game night lonely. Now open on Salaberry and Chattagee. Visit YeOldOrchardPub.com. Or find them on Facebook.
Listen for the Muscle Milk Performers of the Day, brought to you by Muscle Milk. If you want to be at the top of your game, get Muscle Milk. Premium protein products that elevates everyday performance for everybody. Be your best, but better. Be strong, recover faster, fuel up and succeed with Muscle Milk. Every day is game day. Find Muscle Milk at your local convenience store. Stronger every day with Muscle Milk.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet Now, a new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Tonight's a great night for the NHL. I talked about how yesterday was a good night for sports. Tonight, it's definitely NHL that I'll have my eyes on. Tons of interesting games and storylines. If you could pick only one game tonight, which would you pick? And I'll give you four options here.
Okay.
You got Leafs Oilers, so Leafs McDavid, Oilers. Matthews, yeah. Yeah. Lots of young stars in that game.
Uh-huh.
You got Jack Eichel's return for the Sabres versus the Red Hot Senators. Jack Eichel's pretty big, no? You're looking at me already.
Because you're giving me Eichel against the Senators when I can have McDavid against the Leafs.
But it could still be just Eichel.
It doesn't even win the first two.
Okay. First place Habs starting their West Coast trip in Anaheim. Or the Florida Panthers first game after Gallant firing versus your Blackhawks.
It's not close.
Well, they're interesting storylines in those games.
That's not what you asked me.
So you're saying premier matchup.
You didn't say, Elliot, which one has the most interesting storyline? You said, which game would you rather watch?
I have no problem with you agreeing with every game.
I don't care. Because if it was McDavid playing Ottawa, I would pick Edmonton. If it was McDavid playing the Canadiens, I would take Edmonton. That Toronto has three of the most exciting rookies in the National Hockey League makes that a landslide.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
It's gonna draw. I mean, too bad. If this game was in Toronto, it would be a 7:30 start. It's a 9 o'clock start?
It's 9 o'clock. Mm. Yeah, so I've got a PVR'd. You know, I'll miss the beginning. But that's okay. But like you said, McDavid's most exciting player in the NHL, without a doubt. You could argue Crosby's still better, but McDavid is the most exciting player to watch, period.
Did you catch Babcock's comment on McDavid?
I didn't hear it.
The last time I remember a player being that much faster than everybody, the entire league, was Bobby Orr. I was 9 years old. That's what he said.
That's quite the compliment. And he's seen his fair share of talent. He coaches Team Canada.
This guy pulls away on everybody. It's ridiculous.
It is unbelievable. Pretty crazy. There's that. You mentioned Matthews, Marner, Nylander. That's their six players picked in the top eight of the last three drafts. So I really do want to see that. And the best part about this is neither team plays really good defense. So it's not like Edmonton against New Jersey that's going to pull the trap on you. And you're going to see McDavid get his chances. You're going to see Matthews get his chances because the defensemen on both teams, they're all stacked up front. Adam Larson doesn't exactly scream, you know, top-end defenseman. Morgan Rielly, as much as he's fun to watch, same thing. So it's a perfect matchup.
Taylor Hall should still be there.
I couldn't agree more. I think he was the second most valuable player on that team. I think Eberle could have went.
Oh, trade someone else.
Nugent Hopkins, just get rid of him. I think he's the most, not overrated, but if you told me.
Okay, but they don't have idiots.
Like Toronto could trade Nazem Kadri, for example, for Nugent Hopkins. If you'd have told me that was the rumor last year, I would have to think about it. This guy's a number one pick.
Clearly, they don't have idiots in New Jersey. They you know, they said, give us Taylor Hall, and they went, okay.
I'm surprised they didn't hang up and say it was a joke, you know, but that's there. So sticking with that game, since we both went with it, last time the Leafs and Oilers played, neither McDavid or Matthews was the story. It was built up that it was going to be McDavid versus Matthews, chapter one, you know, all that.
It was chapter one.
But it ended up being Nazem Kadri, who stole the show against McDavid, right? Not only did he shut down McDavid.
Not happening tonight.
Well, I'm not going there because I would bet it like you, but. So first of all, shuts down McDavid, and second of all, has a great offensive night himself, and for the game-winning goal, out-muscles McDavid one-on-one, scores a beauty goal, highlight of the night. Is this in McDavid's head? Like, do you think it bothered him when it happened? Or is this, when it's a non-superstar doing it to you, when you're Connor McDavid, do you just not even pay attention to it?
You don't pay attention to it.
No, so he's never, because people talked about it, right? And you know that's the highlight of the night.
He is Connor McDavid. I remember we were in New York, and Alex Rodriguez had started off a season 0 for whatever, and people were saying, it's in his head, the slump's in his head. And they talked to a psychologist in New York who said, it's not in his head. He's been more successful than just about any hitter in the history of the game, and he has always hit. So in his head, they don't think like we do. He thinks like he does. He thinks, I'm one of the best hitters that ever lived, and that's how it's going to go. Yeah. And I'm not hitting today, I will hit tomorrow. And if I don't hit tomorrow, I'm going to hit the day after that. And when the season ends, I'm going to have numbers that reflect the greatness that I am. That's the way they think.
Yeah, I don't think he thinks Kadri's going to get the best of him.
Just smack him away.
I do think, personally, Nazem Kadri, this is the way I think, that it did bother him.
He hasn't been able to sleep for weeks.
That part is a fact.
He circled the other one on the calendar and went, oh my God, we're playing the Leafs again at the end of November. Ooh.
But when he calls back home to people in Toronto and his family had to put up, people were talking about Nazem Kadri like he's going to shut him down every time.
And he tells them, hey, go look at the standings and go look at the league leaders, okay? We win in both counts. Please, Grant. Seriously, I'm just saying, get a hold of yourself.
Same as LeBron James, if he gets dunked on to end the game, as much as he's LeBron James and he can have that argument to anybody, I'm better than you, it's so rare to see a player like Connor McDavid. When you watch a highlight and he's in the frame,
Grant,
he's the one you're saying wow
to.
Grant. I think it bothers him. I honestly think it bothers him. And I think because of that, Kadri is in for a rude awakening tonight. I'll say that if he's on the ice with McDavid at any point, it's not going to go well for Kadri. I would keep him away from that matchup. So sticking with the theme,
he's only going to have this big night to shut you up.
Well, he pretty much has a big night every game he plays. So sticking with the theme of what would bother a star.
Yes.
Okay. This one's coming back tonight.
Not much bothers me.
Well. Well done.
Thank you.
Jack Eichel makes his return tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Last year, what was the whole story with McDavid? Anytime it was there, it was McDavid, Eichel, right? Yep. Now
it's off the table.
Which is 1-2. Mm-hmm. Now it's
one
McDavid, Matthews,
right.
Which, if you look back, other than Crosby, Ovechkin, other number one picks, it's never the storyline. Oh, the last, it's not a big thing now. Maybe that's because it's Toronto.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. If Eichel had happened to be a year later in the draft,
would they compare?
No. Would the Leafs have taken Eichel?
I don't know. And that's a good question. I know a lot of people said going up to the draft that that was a legitimate comparison, right? I have no idea because they've never really been there. But what I have to ask you here
By the way, I broadcast a game with all three of them on the ice at the same time.
That's a pretty good story. When you look back,
and
do you think
Werenski.
This bothers him?
Werenski,
if you were Eichel, your return is tonight.
Yes.
You're the number two pick of last year.
Yes.
He closed the year amazing last year. He started off slow,
a good player.
But he closed great. And now his return is behind two guys that aren't even drafted in the same year. On NHL.com, the story, McDavid Matthews is ahead of Jack Eichel's return. If you were him,
no,
it wouldn't bother you at all?
No.
You're just focused on getting back, doing what you're doing?
You're getting wrapped up in what people say, in what they want to project onto Jack Eichel. I think Jack Eichel doesn't think about that for a moment. Jack Eichel has a smile on his face from ear to ear. He's glad to be playing in the National Hockey League, and at last count, he already had a goal and assist.
Yeah,
so he's just happy to be playing. He wants to be the best Jack Eichel he can be. That's what I believe, right? He wants to be the best player that he can be, and McDavid is McDavid, and Matthews is Matthews, and I'm Jack Eichel, and I'm going to play as well as I can, and I'm not measuring myself up to those guys. I'm measuring myself up to me. And if I try my hardest and do as well as I can, I really believe that, and do as well as I can, that's what matters.
I agree. I think the thing he'd be bothered by the most is that unfortunate injury. You're finally, you're getting to be the guy that, because he started off very slow. He closed the year, like I said, amazing.
Anyways, it's behind him. The injury's behind him now, hopefully.
And, well,
great start. I don't even think that he's bothered by that anymore.
Well,
it's
he has, clearly, whatever he's doing in the first period is working, so we'll keep you posted on that in the updates. That's there. Habs start their West Coast trip tonight. Do you see it being more of a reality check kind of trip or a confirmation that they are one of the top teams in the NHL? Just for these four games, not what happens after.
Yeah.
What do we see these next four?
Well, the West ain't what it used to be. Okay.
That's the first thing I was going to mention.
But is California what it used to be? Because sometimes it doesn't matter, right? There are certain... the Ottawa Senators... against the Canadians, the Ottawa Senators against Carey Price. I mean, does that make sense to you?
No, no, not at all.
So this California trip has eaten the Canadians. Whether the Canadians have been the better team or not, in terms of talent, they have not been the better team in terms of goals for and against on this trip. So the Canadians certainly measure up to the teams they're going to face out there now. The question is, can they get over this bugaboo about being in California? And I don't know what it is that makes them a loser when they go out there, but they should be able to handle their own business. Heck, what are they going out for? They're going for three California games and then St. Louis?
Ducks, San Jose, hey, L.A.,
St.
Louis.
They win two, it'll be good. Come on. Blackhawks just went out there and split six games.
That's what I said. If you win two, you're fine. If you only win one or and it also depends how you lose, because the Habs have their cushion, right? They have their cushion.
It
the standings are going to be fine when they get home.
How you lose. It's an 82-game schedule. Unless you lose all the games and you lose them badly and you play badly, then it matters how you lose. But if they go, if they split the next four games, I don't think it matters how.
I know I'm paying attention because, look, like you said, the West is not
You're
what it used to be.
Paying attention because you have to come here tomorrow night and talk about it.
What I mean
it.
By that is I care how they play. If they
Thank
win 2-1 again,
yes.
which they've done three times in their last four,
yeah.
which works, right?
They
a win's
what?
A win.
Yeah.
But if you're only scoring two goals a game,
yeah.
I don't think that's going to work on this trip. I think that if you got to find the offense again, Plekanec get it going. Gallagher got his.
It's not his name.
Pacioretty. Plekanec's. Plekanec's.
Plekanec's.
Plekanec's.
Thank you.
I got to say it like I am, like I have an accent, and
that's
then
right.
it comes out perfectly. It does. So
like your check.
All right, I'm going to work on it. And Andrew Berkshire.
That's
got
good.
You.
Yep.
But like I said, they need to start scoring some goals, and I do think that this trip is going to be kind of a rude awakening. Now, the good news is they're going to come back. They're still going to be first place.
I don't see a rude awakening happen to the Canadians in California.
What I mean by that is if you play the way you are, yep. you're not going to always win. You can't play like this and win games
nice
against good teams. That's
anyway,
what I mean. They're coming back with a nice
cushion.
Nothing
that's going to happen to them short of a Carey Price injury or a Radulov injury or a Shea Weber injury over the next few days is going to hurt the Canadians before they come on back.
Last question.
Last question.
Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
Are they still alive? They were pronounced dead mere days ago.
This team's
playoffs.
Not going anywhere.
Are they alive to make the playoffs?
I
do you
have
think?
No idea. I don't think they're alive to go places, even if they squeeze into a playoff spot. You got to get some people healthy. You got to get that defense yep. healthy. They showed again last night that they're vulnerable.
But the defense did hold the Eagles to 13 points. That's pretty good.
The Eagles.
I agree. I'm just saying. It looked like it was going to be a shootout.
Okay.
Green Bay's defense the last three quarters played very well. And Aaron Rodgers right now, look at his last 4 weeks.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers had a hamstring problem at the end of last night's game. And that would concern me greatly. Those things don't go away if they're not taken care of. And if it gets worse, it's debilitating. So I would be very concerned
that.
If I was the Green Bay Packers. He barely made it off the field
last
night.
They were up by more than a score. He stayed in the game.
Fine.
He completed a 50-yard pass.
You ever had a hamstring?
No, I agree. Trust me. And he's a mobile quarterback. He's not the type of guy who's going to just stand there.
Get better if
he
you,
wants
if
to
you
move.
Don't rest it.
So, again, we'll see. But Houston is a winnable game. At Seattle will be very tough. But the rest, at Chicago, versus Minnesota, at Detroit. If Aaron Rodgers plays the way he does.
Ooh, you got like easy games in Minnesota and
no,
Detroit.
No, I didn't say
Minnesota
easy games. I'm saying they're winnable. They're winnable. It's 50-50,
right.
40-60.
Yep.
What I'm saying is it's not stacked against you. And if you beat these teams, Minnesota and Detroit, that's the teams you need to beat. You want games against them if you're behind them.
Yep.
I'm interested to see. I think they'll be one of the funnest teams to watch down the stretch. I'll say that.
The opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Saturday. It's going to be a good day. Always is. It's because of all the games during the week. The one played on Saturday night is a special one. This is the story of a love affair between a country and a game. If you want to try and teach someone about Canada, you go to the television Saturday night. And it becomes crystal clear. Hockey Night in Canada on CBC and Sportsnet.
Truck and Roll moves concerts, some big name bands all over North America. But Truck and Roll also serves some you've never heard of. Big and small, they take the same painstaking care. Trade shows, theater shows, concert events, experienced drivers ensuring timely delivery and professional service. Because the show must go on, and that can't happen if whatever you need to be there doesn't get there when you need it. Call Truck and Roll, 514-421-0045, on the net at truckandroll.com and on Facebook. Truck and Roll delivers on their promise and on time. There's a lot of moving parts. Call the experts to assure that your complex ground transportation logistics are handled by those who know what they're doing. Because every second counts. We cover Canada and the United States. Call Truck and Roll, 514-421-0045. On the net at truckandroll.com and on Facebook.
Going away? Why not relax and take the train with Via Rail Canada? Every Tuesday from 7 a.m. until midnight, head to viarail.ca. Check out which routes you'll get a huge bargain on this week.
Book it.
Discount Tuesday with Via Rail Canada. Every Tuesday, only at viarail.ca.
Listen for the Muscle Milk Performers of the Day, brought to you by Muscle Milk. If you want to be at the top of your game, get Muscle Milk. Premier protein products that fuel your recovery from any workout, so you can come back stronger than yesterday every day with Muscle Milk. Every day is game day. Find Muscle Milk at your local convenience store. Keep building every day with Muscle Milk.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Hi, welcome to the Voices portion of our program. We'll start with the Canadiens coach as he looks ahead to the California trip. First stop, Anaheim.
We want to play with a good pace, and guys are doing a really good job since the beginning of the year about focusing on details. And we all understand this is going to be a hell of a challenge. This is a team with experience. They play really well. It's not easy to play against those guys, and this is why it's going to be a really good challenge for us.
Yeah, it's a lot different, but these are the big teams that play very, very different from us, so we got to make sure we don't get caught up in trying to play like them, because we're built a certain way to play with speed, and they're more of a grinding offensive zone, you know, physical style out here in the West, especially the West Coast. So we want to play our game, not worry about who we're playing, not worrying about how they play, but play our game, and like you said, we have some time here to do some team bonding as well. And you know, just hope to come out and show strong performance every night.
I could have said that, but I didn't. The Montreal Canadiens, of course, very close to the fired coach in Florida, having been an assistant coach with the Montreal Canadiens. So obviously, with an opinion on the dismissal of Gerard Gallant.
He did a hell of a job since he's with the Panthers. And they improve every year, and last year, you know, I think it was the best year of their franchise. This is a team that's going in the right direction. They were missing some players this year, obviously, and I'm disappointed for him. He's a really good coach. Again, I'm sure and I'm convinced that he's going to have another opportunity to coach in the league, but you know what? That's the tough business to be part of, you know, and I talked to him last night, and there's nothing he can do about it.
I've said it before, and I genuinely mean it. He's one of the best, if not the best guy I've met in hockey. So the amount of texts and you know, people who reach out even to me to tell me what had happened, it's frustrating, because I know how good of a guy he is, and knowing guys on that team, I know how good of a coach he is. So you know, I reached out to him, and you hope a guy like that doesn't wait around too long to get picked up, because you know how valuable and special he is to an organization, and you know, whoever's going to get him is going to be happy with you know, the type of coach and person that he is.
Probably one of my top coaches I've ever played for as a person. I mean, as a player, the players respected him, wanted to play for him, wanted to win for him every single night. So I don't know too much of the business side, but I know as a coach and a player that he's next to none there.
So there's a picture or something someone said? Yeah.
There's a picture on social media.
On social media? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, once again, you don't want to see that with anybody, but a guy like Turk, who is you know, just such a good guy, he really is you know, so genuine. So to see him you know, go through something like that is frustrating, but a guy like that always ends up back on his feet, and you know, he's going to end up somewhere and help a team you know, win games.
Right, Pacioretty, Montoya, and coach Michel Therrien talking about the dismissal of Gerard Gallant in Florida. Meanwhile, Toronto Raptors won last night. They won big in Philly, and that's always a help. You can get your big players off the floor and get some other guys some floor time.
Try to keep down Cal and DeMar's minutes as far as, you know, the total minutes are concerned, and last night was a good, you know, good way of doing it. That's the way you want to do it, is try to, you know, make sure you get a quality win, a solid win, a, you know, bell-to-bell win. It's, you get a good young Philadelphia team. I think that team is going to be a force to be reckoned with in a few years, and they've got a lot of young talent. And the biggest fear you have coming into a game like that is coming back home off of a long road trip, and guys kind of exhale a little bit and take the foot off the pedal. But we didn't do that last night, so it was a good way to start a homestand.
Have you ever heard of Manny Barreda? Once pitched in the New York Yankee system, he's pitching winter ball. You know, there's baseball going on right now in Mexico. And Manny Barreda pitches a no-hitter.
En una rola dentro del cuadro, todo mundo viene para home. Medio swing, no señor. La cuenta en el 2-2. Dos bolas con dos strikes. Y esta es la cuenta que presagia el ponche. Aquí viene Barrero, abanicha y se poncha para que tengamos el juego sin hit y sin carrera. Manny Barreda, libro de la historia de la Liga Mexicana del Pacífico.
Suavemente bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez. Suavemente bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez. Suave, bésame, bésame, suave, bésame otra vez. Suave, yo quiero sentir tus labios suave, besándome otra vez. Suave, besa, besa, suave, bésame un poquito. Suave, besa, 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 bésame otro ratito. Suave, pequeña, echando pa' acá.
That's what happens when you go to Puerto Rico 6 times in 2 years. Okay. And so Roberto Clemente Jr.'s girlfriend, right, her dad was a saxophonist in one of the most famous salsa bands in Puerto Rico. So I said, look, I want to know the music. Make me a CD with the best salsa and merengue songs that you know. And so this was one of them. This is still my favorite. Elvis Crespo, Suavemente.
It's a great song.
It is a great song.
Anybody who listens to this and doesn't move a little bit, like if you watch them and they're just by themselves and they're not at least a little bit, just even if it's just a little head thing, you can't be trusted. If you're not moving to this, you cannot be trusted. So if you're in your car right now, not moving.
That's right.
There's
it's
a
you.
Problem.
It's you. You can't be trusted. I think Donald Trump, not moving. Not moving. Canadians, what a 10 o'clock game at Anaheim. We got plenty of time to dissect, cut, dice, and put on a platter for you. Mark Dumont from Habs Eyes on the Prize. He's the boss. He'll talk Habs with us after Grant's update coming up next.
The final buzzer. 2 glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Olde Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game with the energy and excitement it deserves at your friendly neighborhood Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With over 20 beers on tap, over 40 single malts, 6 locations, and a full house of fans like yourself. There's no reason to spend another game night lonely. Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay. Visit yeoldeorchardpub.com or find them on Facebook.
You want your money to grow. You want it to be there when the time comes. Let me tell you about Paramount Financial Services and Lauren Rubin at 514-905-0885. He's taken care of my money for years, and I can worry about other things. Does your financial advisor move your money around constantly to make sure he's making money, whether you do or not? Let's not forget, it's your money. And Paramount Financial Services will take care of what's most important, and that's you. Call them at 514-905-0885. It's your money. Grow it for a better future. Paramount Financial Services.
Are you feeling stressed and lacking energy? Do you hate the gym? Perhaps yoga is not your thing. Learn authentic Tai Chi and Qigong from the very family that created it. Regular practice of Tai Chi reduces high blood pressure, strengthens joints and muscles, improves digestion, blood circulation, and balance, prevents arthritis, boosts the immune system, and greatly reduces stress. The Chen Bing Tai Chi Academy is located in the West Island of Montreal. Try a free class. For more information, please visit us at www.cbtac.ca.
Down the drain? That's not usually a positive thing. Unless, of course, that's exactly where you need things to go. What if they don't? Monsieur Drain is your man. He'll do a camera inspection and he'll know exactly what's going on down there. From all types of plumbing, draining, and unblocking to bigger jobs that need excavation. High-pressure jet cleaning. From the master plumber who's seen all there is in 25 years of top-notch service. Call Monsieur Drain at 514-640-0070 or simply head to monsieurdrain.com. Free financing. Financing, they'll take your problem from start to finish. Full service, including help with your insurance claim. Monsieur Drain at MonsieurDrain.com. Customer service, their number one priority. 514-640-0070. Having a nasty pipe dream? Use your brain. Call Monsieur Drain.
Crew, I hope we passed the audition.
Time now for a Sportsnet Tonight sports update. Here's Grant Robinson.
Habs in action later tonight in Anaheim to face the Ducks as they start their West Coast trip. We'll talk next with Mark Dumont about the Habs and that upcoming road trip. 11 other games in the NHL tonight. Leafs Oilers are on at 9 as McDavid and Matthews get set for Chapter 2. Buffalo Ottawa, not to be outdone here, McDavid's original rival.
At least they're not getting ready for Chapter 11.
Jack Eichel made his return for Buffalo tonight, and man, did he get off to a perfect start. A power play goal and a power play assist in the first 10 minutes of the game. Buffalo leads 3-1 over the Senators. The Hurricanes are up 2-1 over the Rangers. Former Ranger Victor Stahlberg, two goals there. Columbus is up 2-0 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They just seem to have the Lightning's number lately. And Flyers 2-0 after one against Boston. Claude Giroux scoring on the power play to make that 2-0. Dallas-Detroit, the only other goal with any score in it, tied at 1. Lindell and Larkin trading goals there. And finally, some good news for the Blue Jays in baseball, possibly, as Edwin Encarnacion's agent has said that Toronto is showing his client the most love. Whether or not they'll be able to find enough to convince him to come back, we'll see. But that's your Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
Wouldn't be surprised if that changes in the next 24 hours. I know Houston definitely was one of the teams that was in on Jonas Cespedes. And now that he's signed with the New York Mets, Edwin Encarnacion would probably be hearing, oh, hello, hello, who is this? Suavemente, Bensame. All of this great stuff brought to you by Lester's Deli. And what do we know? We're almost December, right? Tomorrow's last day of November. Then you can shave off your mustache, and it's December, and you better get ready for Christmas parties. And Christmas parties means food. And that means if you're having parties, you best get it together. Time is closing in on you. Lester's Deli. Take the weight off your shoulders. Smoked turkey, party platters, smoked meat. 65 years of doing it right. Have a look at their menu online and give them a call. They have everything you need for Christmas. Have a look at that menu. There's something for everybody. Turn your kitchen into the magic one they have at the world-famous location at 1057 Bernard. They have turkey. Yes, they do. Tasting exactly as it does at Lester's Deli in your home. Make your Christmas get-together food-worthy. 213-1313, Lester's Deli.
Now, Sportsnet Tonight. Talking hockey. You know, the home team in red, white, and blue.
Tuesdays means Mark Dumont. He is the leader. Take us to your leader. So when you go to Habs Eyes on the Prize, you say, take me to your leader. They take you to Mark Dumont. And so that's what's happened. And so we've got him now. Mark, how are you?
Not too bad, Elliot. And yourself?
I'm terrific. I love late night sports. Now that I don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I always liked late night sports, and I loved when the Expos would go to California and when the Hawks would play out in Los Angeles or whatever. So those of us that get to stay up late, hey, we've got the Leafs and the Oilers, and then we got the Canadiens in Anaheim. What is it, if you know the answer, about California that seems to bite the Canadiens in the ass no matter how good a team they send out there?
I have no idea, but it's definitely one of those morale-crushing road trips every single year. Whether it has to do with the Canadians being on the East Coast clock, because, you know, that's an issue with athletes. They get on a certain time frame, and they perform better at certain times of day. Or whether it's just the Canadians don't mesh very well with the Western style remains to be seen. But I'm interested this year, Elliot, to see. They're a little tougher, the Canadians, than in past years. So I'm hoping to see a team that at least competes. I'm not expecting them to dominate, But I'd like to see them stay in the game and not get embarrassed during this road trip.
That's kind of what I said at the beginning, too. I think that of times, well, it is. That's what I said. I think that most of the times, all that matters is the points. But in this, it's somewhere where you haven't gone well. Even if you only get two wins, but you stick with each game or you're right there and have a chance, I think that'd be big. So I ask you, Mark, what type of result would they need, in your opinion here, in the next four games to come back with their heads held high?
I'd like to see them grab about 50% of the points in this trip. So, and I'm including the Detroit game in there. So they already have two in the bank. I'd like to see them come home with maybe a win in LA or possibly a tie in San Jose. And then they always lose to the St. Louis Blues. So I'm counting that one out. If they can go 500 in the, you know, over this five-game stretch, including that one win, I think that should be considered a success for the Montreal
Canadiens. Wait a minute. They always lose in California, but you're hoping they win some games there. And since they always lose in St. Louis, you're already counting that a loss. I'm a little confused here.
Yeah, well, that means they're going to have to win a game or two against the LA Kings, the Anaheim Ducks, or the San Jose Sharks, which is, which is a big, big, big get. But if we're going to keep talking about this team as a Stanley Cup contender, these are the teams that you have to perform against. They can't just keep saying, you know, oh, we don't mesh well with the West. They're going to have to face a team if they make it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals that comes from the West. So it's time for the Canadians to show their mettle, I think.
All right. They play Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Friday. I mean, there are no back-to-back games coming up that I can see until December 22nd and 23rd. And so when Coach Therrien was asked, will Carey Price play every game on this trip? He said, we'll see. What do you think?
I wouldn't hesitate to use Price very often. I mean, even the shortest break, what, Friday the game is at 10:30, and then Sunday it's an early one, right?
Yeah, 3:00.
I believe it's about
3 Eastern.
That's enough for Carey Price there. The only time I'd consider maybe giving him a break is in the next five games. If any of these he sees 45 or 50 shots and it's a really, really tough game. But the Habs do need to pull through with some points here. It's not that they're not a good team. It's just that right now they're playing a little bit above where their numbers, where their shots and their scoring chances should have them at. So it's important to bank some points here. And obviously Carey Price is the best way to go about it. But I thought I saw a somewhat tired Carey Price against the Detroit Red Wings. I'm not sure if it was just the game itself, but he was a little slower in the third period. We'll have to keep an eye on that moving forward.
So far this year, Weber, Galchenyuk, Radulov couldn't have had a better start. You could include Price in there too, obviously, but those three playing great at the top of their game. If you could pick one player on the Habs right now to get it going and start producing more offensively, who would it be? You got Gallagher, Plekanec, Pacioretty. Who would you go with?
That's a good question, Grant. And also, we have to keep Andre Markov in that first group of players that are playing at the top of their game right now. I don't think I've seen better hockey from Markov in the last 10 years. But I'm going to say Brendan Gallagher. And the reason why is once Brendan Gallagher gets going, he's usually the player that gets any other line going. So whenever the second line would struggle, Technique could put Gallagher on there, and it would get going. So he's kind of the straw that stirs the drink for the Montreal Canadiens. And if he starts creating chances at a higher rate, that means his line will be playing better. So if a guy like Gallagher gets going, that means a guy like Pacioretty gets going. And that's something I want the Canadiens to get going, is their secondary offense. All on the defensive side of things, I think Jeff Petrie is probably the guy I'm looking at that's been having a somewhat hard time in the last couple of weeks. So he's really important for the Canadiens as well. And I'd like to see him put together some solid games, you know, get back into the game shape that makes him so important for the Montreal Canadiens.
With Mark Dubon, the managing editor of Habs Eyes on the Prize. All right, when we come back, does the first line still have the same guys, same constitution? Is it still the two Russians and the speedy guy? Mark, are you there?
Yep.
Oh. Does the first line still have the same constitution when they get home from St. Louis?
Good question, because Paul Byron, I mean, I guess this will sound harsh, but he's in a little bit of a funk. That's four games now he hasn't scored. But, I mean, we shouldn't be talking about Paul Byron being in a funk after four games. He's playing above expectations regardless. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Max Pacioretty back in that spot. And I think that's inevitable for the Montreal Canadiens. It's great to have balanced scoring, but not at the expense of a guy like Pacioretty playing diminished minutes. And it's not like the second line is getting no minutes, but if this team is going to contend, you need Max Pacioretty to be an offensive threat every single night.
All right, and, but if you do that,
yeah.
Paul Byron doesn't fall to that line with Plekanec and Gallagher. So now you need someone else to be on that second line.
Well, the interesting part is ever since they took Paul Byron off the fourth line, it's been terrible.
Right.
And that's not to say that he didn't deserve that promotion, but that fourth line floated the Canadiens through the first 10 or 15 games. So there is that aspect that you can reunite that fourth line, that it become very potent again. But you're absolutely right. The Canadiens still need someone to step up in that spot. So is it going to be a guy like Lehkonen finally start scoring a lot? That would be interesting to see, because the chances are there. He just can't seem to get any finish. I was really disappointed with the Charles Hudon injury, because right. I thought that was a guy who...
That's my next question.
He could quickly climb up the roster. You know, he'd been showing great skills, and he's a goal scorer, Elliot. He's not necessarily a playmaker, which is what we saw from him. And it was just an unfortunate time for him, because this would be a perfect situation to see what Charles Hudon could do in top 6 minutes.
Who do you think, in the end, in your opinion, if it was totally up to you, should be Shea Weber's partner? I know right now it's Emelin, and he's playing very well.
PK Subban.
I don't think that could happen, although I think everyone would love it. But who is it, Emelin, in the end? I know he's playing great now, but we've seen what he was the last 2 years. You know, what would you say with that?
Well, interestingly enough, Grant, when I was looking over all the Shea Weber footage this summer, the first thing that came to mind was, geez, he'd be a perfect style match for Subban. But anyways, that ship obviously has sailed. My answer at the beginning of the year was Nathan Beaulieu, but I think that ship has sailed as well, because he didn't play up to snuff when he was given that opportunity. Right now, my ideal guy isn't on the Montreal Canadiens. I would like for Marc Bergevin to maybe go out there and find a legitimate top four guy. That's not to say Emelin hasn't been playing well. He's been playing extremely well. I just don't see a Stanley Cup winning team have Alexi Emelin on their top pairing. I think he's done good considering the situation, but it's just not ideal. Markov has been playing really well with Petrie, and that third pairing has been alternating between three or four guys, but I'm not sure any of them could play in that position. So other than trying Beaulieu again, or maybe giving Mark Barberio a shot, I think that top spot is ideal for a trade right now.
All right. And as we depart for this week, it kind of leaves us with who the hell is Nathan Beaulieu? You know, I mean, here's a guy that was a top draft choice, expected to be whatever, given a little bit of an opportunity. And finally, when he was presented with the biggest opportunity of all.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Nathan Beaulieu land with a new team next year.
All right. Not this year?
Or trade deadline, yeah. It really wouldn't surprise me.
Great talking with you, Mark. Thank you. Talk next week.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Great having you. Mark Dumont from Habs Eyes on the Prize every Tuesday night. Canadians playing later tonight. We'll set it up for you coming up next hour again when we go into the Canadians' dressing room and hear what they're saying about Anaheim and about themselves. But there's a lot going on in the National Hockey League. Fired coaches. Junior teams being selected. All kinds of stuff. Scott Morrison knows all about that from Sportsnet. Our hockey insider is next as we continue with Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet now. A new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. and more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
Another great year at Windmill Heights Golf Club. More work done as the course gets better and better. And more improvements on the way for 2017. Family owned with an ear to their members. You have a suggestion, they'll listen. But chances are they already know. They play their own course. Golf too expensive? Not this year. Call Windmill Heights Golf Club and we'll make it work. I love the ease of travel, the food, and the fact that they won't ask me for more money when the season's over. Great food. Great golf, great price, great members. Planning a Christmas party? Call Lino Carboni, 514-453-7177, extension 3. 514-453-7177, extension 3. They're creating something special at Windmill Heights Golf Club.
Going away? Why not relax and take the train with Via Rail Canada? Every Tuesday from 7 a.m. until midnight, head to viarail.ca. Check out which routes you'll get a huge bargain on this week.
Book it.
Discount Tuesday with Via Rail Canada. Every Tuesday, only at viarail.ca.
Listen for the Muscle Milk Performers of the Day, brought to you by Muscle Milk. Whether you're an elite athlete or strive to maintain an active lifestyle, Muscle Milk helps provide post-workout protein to help you finish every workout right. Be your best, but better. Be strong. Recover faster. Fuel up and succeed with Muscle Milk. Every day is game day. Find Muscle Milk at your local convenience store. Better than yesterday, every day with Muscle Milk.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Oh, I don't think I'm a lot dumber than you thought that I think that I thought I was once.
You just blew my mind.
We don't need your education. We don't need your thought control.
Great Odin's Raven. Let's get nuts.
Elliot Price.
Dude, you're the man.
Graham Robinson.
I'm the dude.
And their little show.
I know guys on crack that make more sense than you.
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host, Elliot Price.
Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
On 1280 AM, Montreal.
Peace out.
Elliot Price, Grant Robinson. It is Tuesday night, and a bunch of hockey is still to come. One of our hockey insiders coming up in just a moment. I know he's not listening, okay? I've deluded myself. But a very happy birthday to Vin Scully. I believe Vin is 89 today. And I read something very interesting. Vin Scully talking about being in the booth and talking for 3.5 to 4 hours a night, right? And he never has a bottle of water with him.
Never.
Never has a bottle of water with him.
Okay? Is it scotch or just nothing, you're saying? He's got nothing.
He does not. He says that he does not drink liquids during a game. Okay? He has a little lozenge, little candy, that he puts in his mouth and that keeps his mouth salivated or whatever it is. And he's never sat with a liquid in the 60 years that he did baseball for the Brooklyn Los Angeles Dodgers. So happy 89th birthday for Vin Scully. So I got a little candy here. It's on the table. You want to touch it?
The guy must be parched.
I've already had it in my mouth, though, Freddie.
Oh, how God, parched must this guy be? 60 years?
Yeah, he's never had to do that.
All right.
All right. Our hockey insider is Scott Morrison. He joins us on Tuesday nights. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have my candy beside me. I also have water. I don't listen to everything Vince Scully says, but that's okay. Is this
works for him. It works for everybody, hopefully.
Exactly. The removal of Gerard Gallant in Florida seems to be broken down to the point of the new wave against the old school. Analytics, again, does it really come down to just that? Is that where the battle line is drawn?
Well, I don't know if I call it a battle line. I mean, it certainly evolved that way, I suppose, in social media. But and perhaps within the Florida organization from the standpoint that clearly they decided that they wanted to move more heavily in that direction. And so we saw Dale Talon moved up and sort of sideways, but upwards, but out of the day-to-day picture from a managerial standpoint. You saw Tom Rowe come in and a couple of assistants that are numbers guys. And it was quite clear that there was a divide between that group and Gerard Gallant. And what got in the way last year was 47 wins and 103 points. You know, when you look at it, that you fire a guy who's a win over 500 and 2 points out of a playoff spot, if he was 15-5-1, would that be a different scenario? Probably. Was this thing the result of one loss to Carolina? No, this has been brewing for a while. And clearly it was a case that I think they finally made a decision that the two sides were not going to be able to live together. And, you know, you're the owner, you make the decision. Brian Burke told me this long ago, he's been fired and didn't like it, but he also respected that the owner has the right to hire his people. And so now the owner's made his choice, and we'll see how it plays out. The only thing we do know for a fact is that the guy who lost his job was loved in that dressing room, had, as I mentioned, the 47 wins and 103 points and success, and was battling through some key injuries and a 10-player turnover because of that new management group this season. So now it's up to them to prove what they're all about, and it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out.
One other thing we know is that a guy who had 18 months left on his contract got another 2 years. So whatever it is on analytics that break down to numbers, the numbers that have a dollar sign with them, they didn't do a very good job on.
No, I was going to say the analytics didn't translate to banking. And I mean, Dale Talon got an extension at
right.
the same time he got kicked up. So,
and he was the one who...
I guess when you're a billionaire, you can focus on plus minus Corsi and all the other stuff. The dollars don't matter quite as much. But I would suggest that with that franchise, dollars mean a lot. But apparently not in this instance.
No.
So good. I'm really happy for Gerard Gallant.
Good.
You guys know him well from the Montreal days, assistant coach. And you know, I feel bad because he did a heck of a job. And it's going to be a real challenge for that organization now because, as I say, they made substantial turnover. They were a tough team to play against that's gone in an entirely different direction in terms of the players that left and the players that are in. And, you know, you think of the Mitchell, although, you know, he's at the end of the line, but a good Branson, players like that who have left, and they're not as tough to play against. So they better hope that whatever the speed and skill that they've added, and I can't imagine that it's that much more substantial than what they had, is going to make them a better team. And, I don't know. I think Gerard was coaching to win and get as much out of that group as he could, but the overall decisions will be the ones now that will determine where that club's going. And it's going to be a real tough challenge for Tom Rowe. You know, he had some success in the minor league level as a coach, but typically when you have a coaching change, as you guys well know, the guy that is leaving is usually the feeling in the room is good riddance or, yeah, it's kind of about time. Glad to see him go. Yeah, we need a change, all of the above. But that wasn't the reaction with this team. But it was very, very telling that yesterday when they got to Chicago, it was the mandatory day off, and the management group asked for a team meeting. The players said no.
Darren Drager said today while on in Toronto that in his opinion, again, this isn't a rumor, just something looking at the Leafs, had the Leafs landed Jimmy Vesey, that William Nylander would probably be gone by now. Now, obviously, that's just an opinion, but would you agree with that assessment, or do you see Nylander being more of a core piece to the Maple Leafs?
Well, I don't know what Dreg said in with respect to gone, if that meant out of the organization or just not on the roster. I think a lot of people wondered coming into camp whether he was still a year away, and there was a lot of speculation that that year might not have been spent with the Marlies in the American League, that it might have been a case of him going back and playing a year back in Sweden and sort of doing his development there. I would have been shocked if they would have parted company organizationally, but VC may have bumped him back a notch in terms of where he stood on the depth chart, barring, you know, a phenomenal performance in the preseason that made everybody say, no, you're not going anywhere. And then it was an embarrassment of riches, I guess, of young players when you look at how VC's played out. And and Nylander's been okay. And well, a lot of speculation in the last couple of days. People I've talked to said that he was hurt on Saturday and that they didn't feel he was 100% ready. And I also think that they we're giving Peter Holland one last kick in the can. I'm sure you guys have talked about it. He didn't make the trip out west, and he's pretty much done with the lease now. And so there's a lot of different dynamics at play right now. And you can't forget, again, that this is a young team that's finding their way. And guys are going to move up and down that roster. And we've seen it with other players so far in this season as they try different things and guys respond and don't respond.
Does the finding on the roster find Dougie Hamilton on this roster?
Well, I think he'd be a guy that's very intriguing for them. There's no question about that. And, you know, when you look at it from the Calgary perspective, they brought him over. They were very excited. They signed, I think it was a 6-year deal. Thought that he was going to be the guy. And they haven't said that he isn't, but they have said it in so many words and that the silence is deafening. And normally when a player that you've locked up into a deal like that gets involved in trade speculation, you shut it down pretty quickly, and there hasn't been that shutdown. So you have to think that that he's in play and that they don't have the same feeling now that they did when he came to the organization. There's no question the Leafs could use some help on that back end, and he's a semi-local boy. But that's also a ticket that, you know, as they start to look and balance the books a couple of years down the road, that's going to be a factor. And they have to look at the same factors that Calgary's looking at to see where he fits in terms of your skill group. You've got a Gardner, you've got a Riley that are kind of similar players. So you don't want too much of the same thing. So, but I'm sure he's a guy that's on the radar for sure that you'd look at and kick the tires and see what the cost is going back.
Last question. We got a game on in studio right now, Rangers and Carolina. We're watching. And when you look at where the Rangers are getting their production
from
this
year. Edmonton's getting ready to go. We're going to switch a channel.
We'll switch it. But for now, it's there. And when you look at where they're getting their production from, Hayes and Miller are near point per game players right now. Same for Zibanejad and Kreider. You got 12 goals from Michael Grabner, 14 players with over 10 points. It's almost an entire team on pace for career bests. Is this sustainable for the Rangers? Is it possible?
Well, just to weave it back to the start, the Florida analytics guys would tell you no. So that it's not sustainable. If you do the breakdown on their season, and I did it the other night on one of our shows, and I can't remember his precise numbers, but I think it was like 15 out of 22 games they'd scored three or more goals and won all but one, and every night they scored two or less. They didn't win a game. So I think that's where the evidence is. And can you score? They were scoring at a 14 and change percent rate. Dallas a year ago was number one at 10. And the highest, I think, in the last 20 years was 12%. So that number is not sustainable. You'd like to think because you got King Henrik that you could survive with fewer goals as time marches on, although a lot of people aren't excited about the defense that's in front of them. So I think they're going to have some bumpy roads ahead of them if that offense doesn't hold up. And no, I don't think they can keep it going quite at that rate.
He's the executive producer of Hockey at Rogers, Sportsnet, and insider on Hockey Central, and here on Hockey Sportsnet tonight in Montreal. Scott Morrison, thank you. Talk to you next week.
Take care, guys.
That we shall do. So there you go. There's your hockey half hour with Mark Dumont and Scott Morrison. Tomorrow night, we'll talk to Arpit Basu from NHL.com on the Montreal Canadiens. And, of course, John Shannon joins us from Sportsnet in our hockey half hour from 8:30 until 9. Basketball talk coming up. The Raptors, and here they go again. The Warriors. I was going to say, like, but I'm not going to, because that's what they... No, it would be like a kind of a Native American, a Native Canadian chant, right? And that's not appropriate.
Well, that's very politically correct of you, Elliot.
As it should be.
Agreed.
But we will talk to Dwight Walt, and we will talk basketball, and we will talk Warriors and Raptors and a whole bunch of other stuff. After Grant's update, Sportsnet tonight, CFMB 1280 AM. Montreal, I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Every Tuesday night at this time, we talk basketball with our insider, Dwight Walton. Hey, big man, how are you?
What's good, Elliot? How you doing tonight?
I'm okay. I'm trying to decide which game we've pulled you away from. It's either Cleveland-Milwaukee or Orlando and the Spurs.
The Clippers, maybe.
No, that game. I checked the score. It's 69-59.
No, I was watching. I was focused on the Clippers and the Nets and the Cavs and the Bucks.
Nailed it.
And the Cavs really and the Bucks. Hoping, so I got one.
I was really hoping you were going to say something embarrassing, like I was watching The Good Wife or some horrible TV show. I was really hoping.
It's Dwight Walton.
That's on other nights. So hey, listen, I enjoy those shows too now. So don't get it twisted.
All right. No problem, Mr. Basketball. We don't want to upset you now.
Yes.
All right. So hey, look, here we are again. Oh, they were 4-2, and the Warriors have won 12 in a row. Well, we're not shocked by this. We're not surprised. This is who they are. They were great last year, and they added KD. What should we expect?
What a terrible sentence. For those who thought that the Warriors were going to have chemistry issues coming into the season, I knew they wouldn't. Of course, was there going to be an adjustment period? Of course there was. But people tried to compare this situation to that of the Miami Heat when LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh got together. The major difference with these two teams were and are that LeBron James and Dwayne Wade are two ball-dominant type of players. None of the players on the Warriors are what we consider to be ball dominant. And I think this, we're starting to realize, and I hope the fans are starting to see why Kevin Durant made the decision that he did. Some may consider it to be a soft move, what he did, joining a team that, his former team, the Thunder, had a three games to one lead on. But the reality is Kevin Durant wanted to play basketball the way he thought the game should be played. And that was with ball and body movement. And there's this myth going around about Kevin Durant that he was an isolation-type basketball player. And that couldn't be further from the case, Elliot. I just think that he saw how the Warriors played, and he wanted to be a part of that. And that's why I thought going into this season, and as we're experiencing now, I thought that the chemistry issue would be a seamless one and that it would be status quo as far as the Warriors are concerned. They're probably going to win 68 to 72 games again this season. But I think it's the only part of their game right now that will suffer is their defense. And another issue that I'll have with the Warriors going forward here is, as great as these guys are offensively, we're talking about Kevin Durant averaging 27, Steph Curry averaging 26, Klay Thompson, who got off to a slow start this season, is still averaging over 20 points a game himself. My only concern with this team going forward is how Kevin Durant and Draymond Green will handle the added responsibility of having to play quote-unquote big throughout the season. Is that going to wear them down on the offensive end as the season goes forward here and eventually for a long championship run as we fully expect them to have? So as good as the Warriors are offensively, and that's going to continue to be the case for the entire season, how will they handle their defensive responsibilities, and will that take its toll going forward?
Well, I mean, if they do it the Spurs way, and speaking about another team still doing it, they'll be smart with their minutes. You don't have to break the Bulls record. You got to win the championship.
And that is ultimately the case here. And I'm in total agreement with you. I'm only saying that they'll have a chance to win 68 to 72 wins again this season, only based on the fact that there's such a juggernaut offensively. The reality is that when the Warriors come into town or when they're playing at home, you don't really have that much time to prepare for them, which is why I always say coaches and scouts make their money in the playoffs, because during the regular season, you fly into a city, you get into the hotel around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, you have a pretty poor sleep, if you will. You get up early in the morning, you go to the gym, you have a shoot around for about 40 to 45 minutes, then you take a quick nap in the afternoon, and then by the time you get to the arena and the first quarter is over against the Warriors, you're normally down by 20. So I think they'll pile up wins that way. But ultimately, as you said, it is all about the championship. They won 73 games last season, and it didn't end in a championship. So most will consider that season null and void. But it is about the championship this year. And you will see Steve Kerr rest his players judiciously during the regular season.
We talk about the superstars very often with you, obviously. LeBron, Curry, Durant, Westbrook. One player whose emergence has impressed me the most, because those guys you kind of knew were going to be great. Kawhi Leonard, look, he's always been great defensively. I remember him in the playoffs shutting down guys, but now he's a stud offensively as well. I saw one stat. He's got more steals than fouls in his career. How is that even possible? That's got to be the most amazing stat I've heard. How good is this guy, and should he be up there? Maybe not as the MVP, but should he at least be in the conversation?
Just to expound on that stat you just brought up, it's for as aggressively as he plays on the defensive end, to be able to play defense like that and not commit fouls is a phenomenal statistic. But to get to your other question here, Kawhi Leonard is definitely in the MVP conversation. We have several players right now, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Chris Paul. But Kawhi Leonard is definitely in that conversation. Here's a guy that is work ethic personified. He came to the NBA known as a defensive player. Of course, once you get to the NBA, you do have some offensive capabilities. But Kawhi Leonard was very raw when he first came to the NBA. But to see how much he has blossomed, especially from a shooting standpoint, where he's definitely in the top five for over the last two seasons in 3-point shooting percentage, his ball handling capabilities have definitely gotten better, which has also helped his decision making off the dribble. He is not Kevin Durant, Paul George, or LeBron James as yet, but he's definitely getting better game by game. He's starting to become more of a go-to guy in terms of closing possessions down the gut of ball games right now. So Kawhi Leonard, because of the record San Antonio Spurs seem to have every year at this time, he is definitely going to be in the MVP conversation as long as he keeps this up. I don't think he'll win it come the end of the season unless they go on some massive winning streak and his statistics take over everybody's, but again, he'll definitely be in the conversation as long as his play remains consistent for the remainder of the season.
All right, before we let you go, the Toronto Raptors, they've won 3 in a row to get back on track. They're 11-6. It's kind of a long group there, 10-6 and 10-7, 10-7, 10-8. But, you know, it's all about what we talked about with Golden State. It's all about the playoffs and what you're going to do when you get there. My concern, if I was the Toronto Raptors, is that JV is going to be a problem all season long, that this thing is going to take maybe till next year for him to be 100%. You're going to get to the playoffs, and the same thing's going to happen this year. You're not going to have Valanciunas when you need him.
And he has to be healthy. And as great as Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are, Elliot, If the Raptors want to have even more success, we got to remember they got the Eastern Conference Final, although Jonas Valanciunas didn't play from the middle of that Miami Heat series going into halfway through the Eastern Conference Final. He's a major part of what they need to get done. And I would like to see Dwayne Casey, if Valanciunas is healthy for the remainder of this season, I want to see Dwayne Casey play him down the gut of these fourth quarters. I do understand that he may think that Valanciunas may have some defensive deficiencies and he wants to go with his best defensive lineup in terms of matchups. But if the Raptors want to be taken seriously, they have to have more balance, not only on the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well. I think that Jonas Valanciunas is a much better defensive player than being given credit for. He's a stud on the interior. He's a deterrent at the basket. And if you're having problems scoring from the perimeter, the Raptors can use JV on the low block. He's a low down there. I would like to see more balance from him. But as you said, health is a concern with him. He has to be healthy if the Raptors want to be considered at least a threat to the Cavaliers in next year's playoffs. But I also have to acknowledge before we go here that Terrence Ross is a much, much improved player. I like the way he's playing. He's been grossly inconsistent in the past. I hope that I'm not speaking too soon on his behalf right now, but he is playing well. He's shooting the three ball well. I think the Raptors overall, Patrick Patterson and Terrence Ross have become much improved three-point shooters. If that can continue, it's going to be a pretty special season in Toronto.
Thanks very much, big man. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great night.
That's Dwight Walton. It's a great night already. We got to talk to Dwight Walton. And he's with us every Tuesday night just after 9 o'clock talking NBA, talking Raptors, talking Warriors, talking Golden State and the Lakers and all that stuff.
Sorry, I hear this song and all I could think of is the movie Superbad.
Okay.
Best scene. You don't like that movie? It's a classic. It's up classic. There with Monty Python, I hear. You didn't like that. Okay, I'll sit this one out.
Which Monty Python exactly?
I was just joking. It's definitely not up there.
Nail it down for me so I could do a comparison.
I only know one.
Which was?
Whatever the main one is, the King Arthur one.
I don't know the one is.
And the Holy... No, what is it? Is it the Holy Grail?
Yeah.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Okay,
yeah. Yes.
That's the only one I've seen.
You haven't seen it. You're a liar.
No, I have seen that one, of course.
You?
Yeah. A long time ago, but yeah. I've seen that one.
Watch it again. I'm Elliot Price, that's Grant Robinson, this is Sportsnet Tonight. We promised off the top that we'd play you some audio from tonight's Conan, on with the daughter of New York Giants owner. Her mom is in the family that owns the Pittsburgh Steelers. She's an actress. And someone she brought home once did something to the Lombardi Trophy.
This does not sound good.
Well, you're just going to have to wait and listen. That's coming up next.
Saturday. It's going to be a good day. Always is. It's because of all the games during the week. The one played on Saturday night is a special one. This is the story of a love affair between a country and a game. If you want to try and teach someone about Canada, you go to the television Saturday night and it becomes crystal clear. Hockey Night in Canada on CBC and Sportsnet.
Down the drain? That's not usually a positive thing, unless, of course, that's exactly where you need things to go. What if they don't? Monsieur Drain is your man. He'll do a camera inspection, and he'll know exactly what's going on down there. From all types of plumbing, draining, and unblocking to bigger jobs that need excavation. High-pressure jet cleaning. From the master plumber who's seen all there is in 25 years of top-notch service. Call Monsieur Drain at 514-640-0070 or simply head to MonsieurDrain.com.
The final buzzer. Two glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Olde Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game with the energy and excitement it deserves at your friendly neighborhood Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With over 20 beers on tap, over 40 single malts, 6 locations, and a full house of fans like yourself. There's no reason to spend another game night lonely. Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay. Visit YeOldOrchardPub.com. Or find them on Facebook.
Hell yeah.
Price.
Is anybody listening?
Hell yeah.
I'm emotional.
Price. Holy cow.
Hell yeah.
That's baloney.
Hell yeah.
Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
Ding, ding, ding.
Elliot Price.
C'est une déception.
Elliot Price.
I'm listening.
Elliot Price.
Saludos, my friends, and you know who you are. You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host,
Elliot Price.
Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, if anybody asks you tonight, who's the best hockey analyst of the evening? That would be me. Watching the Rangers-Carolina game, and they came out of the period. And Rangers were down 2-0 on the Ranger broadcast. And the guy said, what do they have to do to get back in this game? And I told Grant, well, they have to score 3 goals.
Yeah, it was genius. He was completely correct. There was no way around it.
And what did they do?
What if they score 4, though? Does that make you less right?
No, you got to get to 3 before you get to 4. Oh, only if Carolina scores here. Anyways, Ron Hainsey beside himself. He got a double minor, and he was not happy. He flipped McDonough. I mean, he just flipped him. I don't know what he's arguing about. It was pretty obvious that that was a penalty, and he ended up with another 2. So not only did they tie the game on the first penalty, but now, and they're checking to see the coach's challenge if the goal is good. They're going to have a look, and then they're going to go on another power play, and he could complete. They can go from 2-2 to 4-2, and it'll be just like dead, but we'll see. Anyways, told you this story about Conan O'Brien. He's got Kate Mara on tonight. Her mother's family owns the Pittsburgh Steelers, and her dad owns the New York Giants. And they're playing this weekend, so pretty good time to have her on. And, well, Let them tell the rest of the story. Enjoy.
I don't know if people are aware, but your dad's family owns the New York Giants, okay? Your mom's family owns the Pittsburgh Steelers. And these teams, they don't play each other, I don't think, on Thanksgiving, but they do play each other, and you have to be in the house sometimes when your mom's team, and not the team she roots for, the team that is her team, is rooting against her father's team. What do you do? What is that like?
Well, it rarely happens. Very rarely happens. But yes, it is happening this coming weekend. The good news is that we always win, so... We're just always happy.
That's so funny that you say it that way, because my whole personality is, we always lose. I would imagine, was it intimidating? Let's say you had met a guy, boyfriend, you want to bring him back to the house, and, you know, it's this big football family. Would that be intimidating for her?
Yeah, I date a lot of, somehow I end up dating a lot of Englishmen, which, you know, most of them.
What do you mean somehow? What is that? You make it sound like they just washed up on shore. Hello, hello. Yeah. Well, have we?
I think there's an app just for English.
Exactly. Just bring them up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they like soccer, not football.
Yeah. So, okay. So, well, you bring them by the house, it'd be like, oh, this is the one where you can use your hands.
Well, listen, my boyfriend right now, my boyfriend Jamie is amazing, and he surprised me one day when we first started dating. He spent a night where all he did was watch all the previous season of the Giants, their every game. And so the next time we watched a game together, he knew everything about it, which was amazing.
So he did his homework.
He did his homework, but I was dating someone a long time ago who came to visit my parents not too long after the Giants won the Super Bowl, and the trophy had just arrived. And my parents, my mom specifically, was very excited about this. And she said, you know, would you like to see it? Would you like to hold it? They've sent white gloves that you put on before you can hold the trophy.
Sure.
And so he was a very enthusiastic man. Mm-hmm. And he put on the gloves, and then he went to lift up the trophy. But he lifted it up from the base, which we didn't know wasn't connected to the trophy. And it fell, and in slow motion, I saw he was wearing these steel-toed boots, which he was a pretty good soccer player, and he kicked his foot up and caught it. He caught the trophy with his boot, and then caught it in his hands, and he dented just a tiny part.
Yeah, he didn't catch it. He kick-stopped it. He kicked the...
It never hit the ground, though, and I look over at my dad, who's in the kitchen just watching the whole thing happen, and he was just like... And that was the end. We broke up, and that was it.
Yeah. He dented it.
I thought you'd like that story.
That's got to be the end of a relationship, though. I don't care how...
You drop the Lombardi trophy, your dad owns the Giants, yeah, and your mom owns the Steelers, you bring a boy home and he drops the Lombardi trophy?
I could deal with dating a girl who doesn't like football. Yeah. No problem with that. That's okay. You either can learn and watch with me, or you don't. You do your own thing, that's fine. But you break the trophy?
Yes, I understand. But how do you deal with a girlfriend that's ahead of you in the fantasy pool?
The same way you do when the couple... is ahead of you. Freddie is the only saving grace here, I feel like. But it's tough because she reminds me every day. She reminds me every day. That's why I made some moves.
That's why. She doesn't remind me every day. I don't really care.
I've made some moves.
She reminds you every day. That's why I asked you.
But she's not even happy with second place. She's not happy being ahead of us. She needs to finish first.
If she beats you, if she wins it, she will be our performer of the day, brought to you by Muscle.
100%.
Milk. But we have other performers of the day. So if you will, Maestro, go at it.
The third star of last night, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins of the Sacramento Kings. He lost in overtime 101-95 to the Wizards, but he did all he could for his team. 36 points, 20 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block for a monster individual performance from him. That's a double-double. You know, 36 points, 20 rebounds brings it extra. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers completed 30 of 39 passes, 313 yards, 2 touchdowns. Both of those TDs went to Devontae Adams as part of his 5 receptions and 113 yards. Rodgers was near perfect last night and helped keep the Packers' playoff hopes alive in a 27-13 win over the Eagles. But the top performer of the night goes to Russell Westbrook of the OKC Thunder. He seems to be a regular on this list, and last night was no different. 27 points, 18 rebounds, and 14 assists with two steals. An unbelievable triple-double with that performance. Westbrook's now averaging 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists on the year. It's the deepest a player has gone into a season, averaging a triple-double since 1963.
Listen for the Muscle Milk Performers of the Day, brought to you by Muscle Milk. If you want to be at the top of your game, get Muscle Milk. Premium protein products that elevates everyday performance for everybody. Be your best, but better. Be strong, recover faster, fuel up and succeed with Muscle Milk. Every day is game day. Find Muscle Milk at your local convenience store. Stronger every day with Muscle Milk.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
Time now for a Sportsnet Tonight sports update. Here's Grant Robinson.
Habs in action later tonight in Anaheim to face the Ducks as they start their West Coast trip. But there's a bunch of NHL on now. 11 other games in total tonight. Leafs and Oilers started just now. They're in the first period. McDavid and Matthews getting set for Chapter 2 of their rivalry. 1-0 Leafs, and Matthews got the goal, so he breaks first. They scored in the first period. Rangers have just taken the lead in the third period on a power play goal from Jimmy Vesey. He's having a great rookie season there, and so far has been a great signing for the Rangers. Buffalo leads Ottawa 4-3. Jack Eichel made his return for the Sabres tonight. Perfect start for him. Power play goal and a power play assist in the first 10 minutes of the game. Not such a good night for the Lightning. They trail 5-0 to the Blue Jackets, who simply have their number this season. Flyers 2-0 over the Bruins. Detroit leads 2-1 over Dallas. Winnipeg is up 2-0 over New Jersey. Mark Scheifele scored there. And finally, some good news for the Blue Jays is Edwin Encarnacion's agent has said that Toronto thus far is showing the most love to his client. Now, whether or not that'll be enough to get him to sign back, we'll have to wait and see, but at least the door's not closed. And that's your Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
Brought to you by Lester's Deli. Lester's Deli. You can't do better than the best smoked meat that has ever been made. Our city makes the best smoked meat anywhere. And since Lester's makes the best smoked meat in the city, ergo, they make the best smoked meat in the world. At 1057 Bernard, great to go there, but if you're like me, you'll love the Lester's Deli experience in your kitchen. The same cooked to perfection smoked meat that you get at Lester's Deli, and all you have to do is call 213-1313. It'll be sitting there waiting for you to bring home and serve it up like you brought the meat cutter from Lester's Deli home with you. Lester's Deli, 213-1313 and 1057 Bernard.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Well, if you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think of all my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay.
Listen for the Muscle Milk Performers of the Day, brought to you by Muscle Milk. If you want to be at the top of your game, get Muscle Milk. Premier protein products that fuel your recovery from any workout, so you can come back stronger than yesterday every day with Muscle Milk. Every day is game day. Find Muscle Milk at your local convenience store. Keep building every day with Muscle Milk.
New to the country? Via Rail and the Institute for Canadian Citizenship partner to give a gift to each Canadian citizen during their first year of citizenship. The Cultural Access Pass provides complimentary admission to more than 1,000 of Canada's cultural treasures from coast to coast to coast. The Cultural Access Pass creates opportunities for Canada's newest citizens to discover our rich cultural history, world-renowned artworks, historical figures, and stunning parks. Go to icc-icc.ca. A message from Via Rail Canada.
Truck and Roll moves concerts, some big name bands all over North America. But Truck and Roll also serves some you've never heard of. Big and small, they take the same painstaking care. Trade shows, theater shows, concert events, experienced drivers ensuring timely delivery and professional service. Because the show must go on. And that can't happen if whatever you need to be there doesn't get there when you need it. Call Truck and Roll, 514-421-0045, on the net at truckandroll.com and on Facebook. Truck and Roll delivers on their promise and on time. There's a lot of moving parts. Call the experts to assure that your complex ground transportation logistics are handled by those who know what they're doing. Because every second counts. We cover Canada and the United States. Call Truck and Roll, 514-421-0045. On the net at truckandroll.com and on Facebook.
Elliot Price.
Crazy fool.
Elliot Price.
We're doomed.
Elliot Price.
Illogical.
Elliot Price.
Weeknights at 8.
I think my kids like that one best. Elliot Price, crazy fool. They did. They walked around the house like for weeks doing that. Elliot Price. Crazy fool. Wee papa. Oh, they do that anyway. All right. Tomorrow night, I mean, here we are. It sure took some time. I mean, they had the big wait there to play the first game, and now a week later, and we're ready to go, right? We wonder about the pitch in Toronto. They played the Grey Cup on it. You know, they could have had a snowstorm, but they didn't. Gregory Caldebanis, our impact, and I got to tell you that since Gregory joined us, the impact have probably been on their best run, certainly their best regular season and playoff run in their history. Gregory,
they haven't lost.
Do you feel like that you're a part of this?
I don't know. I don't want to say it's a coincidence, but at the same time, they're on form. They're headed, well, they're on their way to the final. If they win tomorrow or if they tie, we'll get into that in a bit. So I'm feeling kind of good right now.
MVP of the impact,
yeah,
in my opinion.
The real 12th man,
yeah.
You know?
The 12th.
He actually is considered part of the 11, as far as I'm concerned. He's not even the 12th. He's part of the 11.
That's good. All right. Are you going?
To Toronto? No, yeah. I won't be headed there. I have too much, as you know, I'm still in school. So
yeah, I know.
Got
I'm
a lot
saying.
Of work.
School's
right
overrated.
Now.
Soccer's what's really important. You know that.
Oh, believe me, if it was up to me, I'd be in Toronto right now.
All right. So, I mean, are you going to be like, what kind of day are you? You're an Impact fan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And your international soccer team is.
Juventus.
Yes, everybody knows that from your tweets. And will you be as nervous for tomorrow's game as you would be for a UV playoff game?
Well, the thing with Juve, there's no playoff games, but I get what you mean here. When I'm watching the Impact, I try staying as neutral as possible because I am in Montreal. But at the same time, watching this, it's going to be an intense affair. As we know, just about a goal separates them. So it should be a heated affair. You tweeted earlier that this is probably the biggest game in Canadian history.
Yeah.
So it's normal that people and fans alike are rather nervous going into tomorrow's game.
All right. You say you try to watch it as neutral as possible, but that's from an observer standpoint. But when the Impact score, the first goal of the game, you're just going to check one on one side of your score sheet, right? And that's it. I mean,
Yeah, maybe a cheeky smirk.
All right.
What happens?
Yeah, that's about it, though.
I want to know here. Look, Toronto FC, we saw what they could do. We've seen them play now. Montreal pretty much dominated the first 60 or so minutes. And then at the end, it was more Toronto FC once Montreal sat back. What scares you the most if you're the Impact about Toronto FC in this matchup, which you either need to win or tie to advance? What's the scariest part?
I think definitely the Sebastian Jovinko factor is a scary thing going into this game. All it takes is one moment of brilliance from him and the Impact find themselves down. Because they conceded those two away goals, a 1-0 defeat does see them go out of this. So I think going into this game, knowing the fact that they'll probably have to score is a worrying prospect because at home, Toronto are one of the better teams in the league. While they're not always difficult to break down, they're going to be raring to go. They're going to have their home crowd behind them. So knowing this, I'm sure the Impact will be wary that they'll need to probably score a goal tomorrow. And given the recent results in Toronto, it won't exactly be easy.
All right. There was worry, of course, with the Grey Cup being held on the same field, that the pitch just wouldn't. I mean, you know, there were obvious complaints about the game here with the artificial turf and the lines that were, you know, not like they were supposed to be. But, hey, we're done. That's in the past. The future is tomorrow's game in Toronto. And from everything we hear, the response was, it's much better than we expected. What does that mean?
That's worrying in itself. Yeah. That they expected it to be a lot worse than it is. Obviously, a football game was just played there of the highest caliber in Canadian in Canada right now, the CFL Grey Cup final. So obviously, that field's undergone some wear and tear in the past week or so. So I think what they mean by that is they were expecting it to be completely, almost unplayable, and now it's like, okay, I guess it's adequate enough. Which I find it kind of funny that we're seeing Canadian history unfold in soccer, and the main concerns in both games was, will the field hold up? It shouldn't have to come to this, but at the same time, I'm in no way surprised.
We all know that if Montreal scores first, it's pretty much perfect, because then even a tie, they advance. But what happens if Toronto goes up 1-0? What's going to change in this game, and what kind of game will we see the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think that's a huge concern for the Impact, because if they score first, like you mentioned, it's the perfect start, and in my opinion, they definitely need to score first. That's the most important thing going into this game. But if Toronto managed to nick the first goal, they're ahead on aggregate, and the Impact have to play a completely different game, because when they were going into New York with the lead in the Eastern Conference semifinals, they managed to nick the first goal, and it changed the complexion of the whole game, because then you saw New York having to come up, having to push their lineup, giving them more space to attack. By conceding the first goal to Toronto, then Toronto will, quite frankly, not need to push up, and there's going to be less and less spaces for them to attack. That being said, the Impact, even if Toronto do score the first goal, they have enough firepower to find the equalizer to go ahead in this game, but at the same time, I think that's what Mauro Biello is stressing right now.
With Gregory Caltabanas, he's the senior editor and Montreal Impact correspondent for Italian Football Daily, and of course our correspondent on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Some people pointed their finger at Coach Biello for moves he did make or didn't make once the Impact got themselves a 3-0 and 3-1 lead in the game here last week. But, you know, after they scored their third goal and after it was 3-1, I thought that he was doing, as they showed him on the sideline, getting his guys refocused. Hey, the game's not over. Focus. And, you know, bad break. Javinko ran over his man and threw him to the ground. They ended up getting a goal. What was your perception of Biello? And give us a matchup of the coaches going into the second game.
I'm inclined to agree with some of the Biello critics about the first leg, because I found he was far too reactive in this tie. Greg Vanney did a double substitution in the 57 minutes, bringing on Toussaint Ricketts, which really changed the whole game. After the Toronto FC scored the first goal, yes, he was urging his players to focus, regain the focus, but in a match like that, that's easier said than done. If he wanted to truly regain the focus of the side, I thought maybe he would have shaken up the midfield, brought on another player, or instead of sitting back way deep into the box, maybe push up his team a bit more and squeeze Toronto and give them more pressure. In terms of the manager's matchup going into this one tomorrow, we have Greg Vanney and Mauro Biello, two Canadian managers finally getting the spotlight they deserve. Vanney is a manager that, over the course of his tenure in Toronto, has changed his tactics according to his personnel, which is a mark of a good manager, because sometimes you look at coaches trying playing their type of soccer with the players that they quite simply don't have. So, and we'll see that tomorrow. With in all likelihood, the 3-5-2 will be Toronto's formation. This is a formation that Greg Vanney has tweaked over the recent months to get Toronto to where they are at today. Whereas Mauro Biello is a manager that really stresses the importance of the entire team that goes beyond the 11 men on the pitch, and that has more often than not stuck to his guns with his 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3 formation. So it should be an interesting matchup, and I think it makes for all. This all makes for a great game tomorrow.
If you're the West, who do you want to play? Now, we've already asked what the matchup will be like, but if you're the West, do you hope Toronto advances or Montreal, or do both kind of scare you?
I think if you're Seattle right now, you're looking at both teams in the East and thinking to yourself, no matter which one comes through, it's going to be a difficult game. But obviously, I think Seattle are going to want the Montreal Impact to prevail in this one, because if Toronto win, the final will be played in Toronto, whereas if Montreal win, then Montreal have to travel to Seattle. So I think it will change a lot. Like, in terms of Toronto and Montreal, I think that they're just as good as each other, and they both scare the West. But and what will change who Seattle wants is the home field advantage, which by Montreal winning, as I mentioned earlier, it means that Seattle's at home. And that changes the way Toronto approaches the game as well, because if they beat the Impact and they advance to the MLS Cup, they have a chance to win it in front of their own fans.
Let's see. Toronto and Seattle, July 2nd. They battled to a 1-1 draw at BMO Field. And the Impact and the Sounders, it was very early in the season, April 2nd, Impact on the road, and they fell 1-0. What can you tell us about this team that's going to the final that was a 500 team during the regular season and fourth in the Western Conference? Why are they in the championship game?
Seattle's one of those teams that come playoff time, they always shift into another gear, just like Montreal has done this season. And as we saw, they're getting the right results at this current time. One key factor in this side, and much like the acquisition of Mancozu injected new life into the Impact, the acquisition of Nicolas Lodero did much of the same to Seattle. This is a player that has performed in almost every playoff game this season and has truly given the Sounders that extra boost. On his day, this is a player that in Europe, he was always a handful, so I could imagine what he's been doing to the MLS defenses, as we all have seen. So the acquisition of him combined with some truly decisive goals from key members of the side that weren't quite performing early in the season has really lifted the Seattle side from, as you mentioned, fourth place to during the MLS Cup.
All right, Gregory, I think we're going to have you on again tomorrow night after the game. I think that's...
Yeah, I would love that.
That's going to have to be. So Gregory will join us tomorrow night, and who knows what we're dealing with. Hey, I tell you what, they could still be playing, you know? They could have an overtime.
They probably will. I don't know about that.
Well, it's a 7 o'clock start, and if we get John after 9, we're looking at... that means they've gone extra time.
It was delayed last time, remember.
That's true.
Unless they messed up the penalty box again.
That takes, replant some turf from the Grey Cup and just sit there and watch it grow. All right, Gregory, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We're looking forward to this.
Pleasure is all mine, Elliot. Thanks.
All right. Gregory Caltabanas. And we'll see what we have on our hands tomorrow night. It should be very exciting. 7 o'clock start. I like that. 7. Last one was 8. Supposed to start at 8. And it started like in the middle of the night almost with the brilliance that is Olympic Stadium. Things just happen there, you know? The good news is, as far as I know, just about everybody that's walked into that place has walked out so far. So
yeah, the people you know of.
I said that I know.
Well,
I can't tell you what I don't know.
I feel like that place has some ghosts in there. That place has claimed some souls.
Yeah,
tell you.
But they fall into the cracks in the turf, in the cement, underneath the turf. There's players in there, you know, from the 80s and the 90s. All right. We will take a look at the Canadiens game tonight against Anaheim. We'll hear from a number of people, Coach Terry and Max Pacioretty, and some others as we get you ready for the Canadiens and Anaheim in a pre-game next on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. I won't let
you near it. I will... Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet Now. A new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
Another great year at Windmill Heights Golf Club. More work done as the course gets better and better. And more improvements on the way for 2017. Family owned with an ear to their members. You have a suggestion, they'll listen. But chances are they already know. They play their own course. Golf too expensive? Not this year. Call Windmill Heights Golf Club and we'll make it work. I love the ease of travel, the food, and the fact that they won't ask me for more money when the season's over. Great food. Great golf, great price, great members. Planning a Christmas party? Call Lino Carboni, 514-453-7177, extension 3. 514-453-7177, extension 3. They're creating something special at Windmill Heights Golf Club.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
All right, welcome back to the show. The Canadiens, how far away? What are we looking at here? Another 11 minutes.
And then there's
the national anthem and stuff like that. All right, getting you ready for the Montreal Canadiens and Anaheim. And we could start things off with Coach Therrien looking ahead to facing the Ducks.
We want to play with a good pace, and guys doing a really good job since the beginning of the year, both focusing on details, and we all understand this is going to be a hell of a challenge. This is a team with experience. They play really well. It's not easy to play against those guys, and this is why it's going to be a really good challenge for us.
You know, we talked earlier, we had Mark Dumont on. At the beginning of the show, he's with us every Tuesday night at 8:35. He is the managing editor of Habs Eyes on the Prize about Max Pacioretty. Maybe eventually, Byron drops out of the first line, and that doesn't look like it's happening tonight. But you never know with Coach Terry. Again, you know, they could be down 1-0, and things will change. But Max Pacioretty right now playing on a line with Plekanec and Brendan Gallagher.
We want to take care of our end, but also be a threat offensively. So, I mean, the offense will come. We got some bounces the last couple of games, and hopefully we can, you know, ride that momentum. But it starts with taking care of our own end first, and that's where we're effective.
And as for playing out in California, because let's face it, the Canadians, certainly while Pacioretty has been a Hab, have not done well in the Golden State.
Yeah, it's a lot different, but these are the big teams that play very, very different from us, so we got to make sure we don't get caught up in trying to play like them, because we're built a certain way to play with speed, and they're more of a grinding offensive zone, you know, physical style out here in the West, especially the West Coast. So we want to play our game, not worry about who we're playing, not worrying about how they play, but play our game, and like you said, we have some time here to do some team bonding as well, and just hope to come out and show strong performance every night.
It hasn't gone well for the Canadians in California, but they don't go out there that often. Now, Andrew Shaw with Chicago. Now, they've been out to California.
Yeah, I mean, you come in, they're a team with a lot of skill and some big bodies. You know, they're going to play a physical game, and we got to use our speed, you know, use our speed and skill, and make sure we get pucks behind their D and work them that way.
Big bodies, physical team. That's the kind of game Greg Patterson's looking forward to.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll kind of benefit me a little bit. I like a little bit of a rough, bumpy game, and you know, all these three teams coming up, they play that physical style. So I'm excited for what's to come.
And Coach Therrien gets another day to watch his favorite player. Yes, the Canadians will have Alex Radulov in the lineup again.
Well, there's a lot of things that we like. You know, we all knew that he was a good player. And more the season go on, and we discover a good leader, and there's a good chemistry with him and Galchenyuk. And I think those two really, really fit well together. You know, first of all, Radulov is a good playmaker, and Galchenyuk first, and he's a good goal scorer. But we can't deny the one of the reasons they got success too is Paul Byron. You know, with his speed, they open up things for those two guys. So they're doing a lot of good things out there.
So here we go. Every night around this time, sometimes you have to check in a little bit earlier. My advice is check how many games are on the schedule and act accordingly. When there's two games on the schedule, we start around 56, 57. When there's a bunch of games on the schedule, it's 54. That's where we are tonight, and if we don't get going, we'll end up where we were last night, squeezing out the last assist just as the show came to a close.
New York Rangers 3, Carolina 2. That's a final. Carolina led 2-0. Victor Stahlberg with 2 goals. Tennyson, Nordstrom, McClement with assists there. But New York Rangers came firing back. Holden and Nash both scored unassisted. Nash was a beauty. Backhand off the crossbar and down. Nash also assisted on Jimmy Vesey's game-winning goal. Strong rookie season for him continues. Lundqvist, 26 saves in the game.
5 different goal scorers for Columbus as they beat Tampa Bay impressively by a score of 5-1. The goaltenders, Vasilevsky and Cowboy Bob. 5 different goal scorers, I said, for Columbus tonight. A goal and 2 assists for Anderson. A goal and 1 assist for Hartnell. Carlson, Wenberg, and Gagne getting the other goals, assists, other than the ones we told you about. Seth Jones, Murray, Nedavara, and Savard. On the other side of the score sheet, only goal by Filppula from Point and Suster.
Toronto 1, Edmonton 0 after one period. Austin Matthews getting the first goal there from Nylander and Zaitsev. So Matthews seems to have found his groove again. 12 saves from Frederik Andersen. Connor McDavid so far in the game, 0 shots. I'm sure that'll change.
This is such a weird matchup, Detroit-Dallas, because it doesn't mean a whole lot these days other than 2 points. And man, they were in the same division and they were both good at the same time. Mm-hmm. Are they used to butt heads? Now, Detroit-Dallas, it's just another game. Right now, it's 2-1 Red Wings. They're playing at home. Lindell, 16 seconds into the game from Eakin and Seguin, but that's the last time Dallas scored. Dylan Larkin with a 7th, which is good. We saw him limping the other night against the Canadiens from Green and Nielsen. And Anthony Mantha, so good. For Canada's junior team a few years ago, finally in the NHL. His third goal, power play from Zetterberg and Cronwall. And the goaltending matchup is Mrazek, who made the miraculously Zach and the save the other night.
Perfect.
And Lehtinen for Dallas.
By the way, for Dallas, if you do have Klingberg, the star defenseman from last year, was scratched again tonight. That's twice in a week, so obviously in the coach's doghouse there. Buffalo 4, Ottawa 3 right now. That's in the third period with about 10 minutes left. Jack Eichel's return. Oh, what a return it was. Goal and an assist in the first period. O'Reilly also with a goal and assist. Okposo and Sam Reinhart scored the other goals. Rasmus Ristolainen to assist. So everybody seems to be getting going now for the Sabres with the return of Eichel. Kane and Franzen with assists as well. For Ottawa, Mike Hoffman must think he's playing Carey Price or something. He's got 2 goals and an assist. Finally, he's figured it all out. Stone with a goal and an assist. Turris, Carlson, Brassard, and Borjecki with the assists. Anderson with a rough night. 4 goals on 18 shots so far, and he's been pretty much unbeatable so far this year.
So far, not the boost that Florida thought they would get. Normally, you know, you're playing for a new coach, and the other team is coming back from a 6-game road trip out to California and Western Canada, but it's not over yet. It's 1-0. No captain either. Jonathan Toews not in the lineup, upper body injury. But Chicago leads 1-0. Only goal of the game, Richard Panik from Rasmussen and Kruger, and shots almost even, 18-17. Crawford and Luongo.
Philadelphia, Boston. Philly led 2-0. Boston has tied it at 2 so far in that. Delzotto and Giroux with the goals for Philadelphia, and the usual suspects for the Flyers with the assists: Simmons, Voracek, Shen, and Konechny there. Krejci scored from Krug, and then Marchand tied it up from Carlo and Krug again. So Krug to assist. Mason, though, Steve Mason, the only reason this game's even close. They are being outshot 37-16 so far in the game.
Wow, it's weird looking at this box score and seeing just goals. No penalties in this game between Nashville and Colorado. Mike Fisher at 14:52 from Bledo and Watson. And just over a minute later, Rantanen from Tuden and Bork. And that is a 1-1 tie. Rene and Pickard, the goaltenders. And that's after one period of play, Nashville and Colorado.
Winnipeg, New Jersey, the last game to tell you about that's on right now. Mark Scheifele with a goal, so he's got another one there. Blake Wheeler as well scored. Bufflin, Ehlers, Kopp, and Trouba with the assist. Trouba did nothing when he came back. Now he's got 3 assists in his last 2 games. Nice to see him get it going. And Connor Hellebuyck, I don't know if you saw these stats, but 2 of his last 4 games at home were shutouts. He's got a 1 goal against in those last 4. 14 saves so far after 2. Looking for his 3rd shutout in 5 games.
All right, Minnesota, Vancouver, Canadiens, Anaheim, Arizona, San Jose. That's getting underway in the next 5 to 10 minutes. And there you have it, your National Hockey League fantasy update, which we do every night on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Thanks to David Mione. Thanks to Freddie Iuni. Thanks to Grant Robinson. I'm Elliot Price. And especially to the people who joined us on this Tuesday night, as they usually do. Mark Dumont, always here on Tuesdays. Scott Morrison, always here on Tuesdays. Who? Oh, the baller. We call him the baller. Dwight Walton, always here on Tuesdays. And Gregory Caltabanas, who will be here again tomorrow when the big game is played. And we're excited. And we have a whole lot more for you tomorrow night. Please join us. We'll be on the air at 8. If you missed any of tonight's show, sportsnet.ca for our podcast.